Today, we'd like to see the title over arrogant heart or stout heart in Isaiah chapter 10, verses 1 through 34. For online courses people, we'd like to suggest four questions. Number one, in verse 7, yet he does not mean so, nor does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut off not a few nations. What does it mean? Verse 7, what does it mean? The question 2, in verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Or shall the saw exalt itself against him who saws with it? As if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up. Or as if a staff could lift up, as if it were not wood. What does it mean? Verse 15, what does this verse mean? Question 3, in verse 20, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob will never again depend on him who defeated them, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. Who is the remnant? Who is the remnant? The last question, what attribute of God's characteristics can we see in this chapter? Question 4, what attribute of God's characteristics can we see in this chapter? Before starting chapter 10 of the book of Isaiah, we want to see a little historical background. When Isaiah the prophet prophesied in chapter 10, northern Israel was already conquered by Assyria in 722 before Christ. So, Assyria attacked in Jerusalem in 701 before Christ would occur. So just before Assyria attacked into Jerusalem, the capital city of Judah, the southern nation, the Isaiah, the prophet, prophesied this chapter. Later in 586 before Christ, Assyria and Judah were conquered by Babylonia. So chapter 10 verses 1 through 4, warning to northern nation Judah. Basically, repent your sin and return back to God. Verses 5 through 19, warning to Assyria. 20 through 23, dual prophecy. Basically talking about remnants, you know, dual prophecy. Mm-hmm. The last part in 24 through 34, punishment of Assyria. So verse 1, word to those who decree unrighteous decrees. Basically 1 through 4, the warning to northern Judah. You should repent unrighteous decrees, ungodly things. Then you should come back to the Lord. Otherwise, you also would be punished by God. So word to those who decree unrighteous decrees, who write the misfortune which they have prescribed to rob. Verse 2 explain, to rob the needy of justice and to take what is right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey and that they may rob the fatherless. God has a special mercy. Number one, the needy people, like Rob Holdridge, the needy people's ministry. Number two, the poor people, like homeless ministry. Number three, widows. The last one, the fatherless, the orphans. But the Jewish people took advantage of the weak people, such as the needy people, the poor people, widows, and the fatherless. Verse 3, what will you do in the day of punishment? So God is going to punish you unless you repent your sin, unrighteous decree, and go back to God. In the desolation which will come from afar, to whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me, without God, they shall bow down among prisoners. In order to survive, they hide among prisoners, and they shall fall among the slain. They pretended to be killed among the slain people to survive. For all this, his anger, God's anger, is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still, stretched out continually, until you repent completely. So here we can see God's attributes of characteristics of faithfulness or jealousness. Why? In order to develop God's righteousness. Verse 22, you know, explains this chapter, showing, you know, God's righteousness. You know, verse 22 here, for though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. The destruction decrees shall overflow with righteousness. God has, you know, two big attributes of his characteristics. Number one, agape love. Number two, righteousness. Therefore, God's agape love does not include any unrighteousness, any iniquity, any sinfulness. So two big, you know, attributes. That's why, you know, Jesus Christ was crucified, was dead. So because of God's righteousness, God, you know, cannot accept the sinfulness, iniquity. That's why, you know, somebody should be sacrificed for sin, to cleanse away sin. That somebody is a sinless person, the sole son of God the Father. So because of God's love, that's why he gave his son. He doesn't take, he didn't take, you know, any other somebody. He gave his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know, to us. So two big, you know, attributes, you know, there. So here, verse 5, now is a warning to Assyria. Word to Assyria, the rod of my anger. Here, the rod of my anger, which meaning God used Assyria, the instrument of judgment against Israel, for God's righteousness, for God's righteousness. Because God used Assyria in order to defeat northern country Israel. So the rod of my anger means the instrument of judgment against Israel for God's righteousness. Here, and the staff in whose hand is my indignation. So basically Assyria, like a staff or a stick, I will send Assyria against the ungodly nation. So not only Israel, northern Israel, or Syria, or even Egypt, you know, and against the people of my wrath, you know, such as northern Israel, I will give him charge. I will give Assyria responsibility to make a judgment against ungodly nation, to seize the spoil, to take the prey. God allowed Assyria to take the spoils after his victory of the battle, and to tread them down like the mire of the street. Yet he does not mean so. Verse 7, what does it mean? Yet he does not mean so. He, meaning Assyria, does not mean so. Nor does his heart think so. Basic Assyria doesn't understand why God used Assyria as the rod over God's judgment, God's anger. Basically, Assyria didn't understand God's poor control. But it is in his heart to destroy and cut off not a few nations. But Assyria has greedy to continually destroy more nations, like that. So Assyria didn't understand God used Assyria as just the instrument over God's judgment against unholy nations because of God's righteousness or God's justice. So every nations are in full control, ultimate control of God, which Assyria didn't understand. So verse 8, for he says, Assyria says, are not my princes altogether skins? Is not Calah like Carchemish or conquered cities? Assyria was a huge country, included all the Israel, Syria, even Egypt area too, huge country at that time. So altogether kings, is not Calah like Carchemish? Is not Hamath like Arpad? Is not Samaria, the capital city of northern Israel, like Damascus, the capital city of Syria? So Assyria conquered all capital cities, all nations. As my hand has found the kingdoms of the idols, whose carved images excel those of Jerusalem and Samaria. Assyria's pagan gods excelled the pagan gods and Jehovah God of Jerusalem. Assyria believed so. That's why Assyria conquered all nations, even Israel. So that's why Assyrian people believe that their idol gods, their pagan gods, were superior to any other pagan gods and Jehovah God. This is really a blasphemy against God. Verse 11, and I have done to Samaria, the capital city of a northern nation, Israel, established by 10 tribes, except Judah tribe and Benjamin tribe. Judah and Benjamin tribes established southern nation, Judah, but the left over 10 tribes established northern nation, Israel, after the death of Solomon. So, but the northern Israel was already defeated or conquered by Assyria. As I have done, which means Assyria has done to Samaria and her idol, Samaria, the capital city of northern Israel, shall I not do also to Jerusalem and her idols? So this kind of, so we will conquer Jerusalem and Jerusalem's idols, including Jehovah God. Unfortunately, at that time, southern Judah, the several good kings, like Hezekiah king, but Hezekiah king's son named Manasseh. Manasseh king, he worshipped a lot of idols. So southern Judah also worshipped pagan god. So Assyria said, we are going to conquer the Jerusalem, the capital city of a southern nation, Judah, and Judah. Verse 12, therefore it shall come to pass when the Lord has performed all his work on Mount Zion and on Jerusalem, that he will say, I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his haughty looks. Because God said, I will punish Assyria rather than Jerusalem and Judah here. That's why, you know, historically, 701 before Christ, Assyria king invaded into Jerusalem. That the 2 Kings chapter 19 talk about verse 10. Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Basically, Assyrian king sent a letter, so Hezekiah king, you know, surrender, you know, to us. You know, do not, you know, deceive that your God, Jehovah God, will save you from the hand of the king of Assyria, basically. Then verse 14, and Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers, basically Assyria king's letter, and read it, and Hezekiah went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah, you know, just spread actual king over Assyria's letter before the Lord in the temple of the Lord. Then, verse 15, then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord, God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim. Cherubim means angels, before angels. You are God. You alone of all the kingdoms of the earth, which meaning you alone control all of the kingdom of the earth, including Assyria. You have made heaven and earth. Here, Hezekiah trusting God fully created heaven and earth. Verse 15, and it came to pass, now God answered to Hezekiah king, it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord, only one angel, the angel of the Lord went out, killed in the camp of the Assyrians 185,000 soldiers. Instantly, 185,000 soldiers. And when people arose early in the morning, they were the corpse, all dead, all dead. So Sennacherib, king of Assyria, Sennacherib, king of Assyria, departed and went away, run away, returned home, and remained at Nineveh, Nineveh, the capital city of Assyria. Now it came to pass, as he was worshiping, Assyrian king worshiping in the temple of Nisroch. Nisroch, you know, Assyrians are not only one pagan god, you know, but many pagan gods. But at that time, Assyrian king worshiping Nisroch, his god, and his sons, Adrammelech and Sharezer, struck him down with the sword. His sons assassinated the king, and they escaped it into the land of Ararat. Then Esarhaddon, his son, reigned in his place. So at that time, Assyria failed to conquer Jerusalem and Judah, southern Judah. So exactly, God prophesied through Isaiah, you know, here. So verse 12. So I will punish the fruit of the arrogant heart of the king of Assyria and the glory of his holy looks. Here, you know, we should learn, you know, that is a pride or arrogance made us to blind, you know, to see that, you know, God is full control, ultimately full control of all nations, including all people. So blind him that God is the ultimate control of all nations because their, you know, his arrogance and haughty rules. So also God said, you know, God gives grace to the humble people, but resist against the proud people. So verse 13, for he says, Assyria says, by the strength of my hand I have done it, and by my wisdom, for I am prudent. So he, Assyria, lifted himself here. Also I have removed the boundaries of the people, and I have robbed their treasuries. So I have put down the inhabitants like a valiant man or a brave man. My hand has found like a nest the richest of the people, as one gathers eggs that are left. So everything piece of a cake. I have gathered all the earth, and there was no one who moved his wing, nor opened his mouth with even a peep. You know, continually boasting word, you know, holy words, you know, arrogant word. Now verse 15, God says, shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? So here, axe is a creature, or instrument, just instrument. But the him who chops with it, that's a user. So what shall the soul exalt itself against him who sows with it? So user is superior to just instrument, which meaning God is a creator, is superior to instrument Assyria. Like as if a rock could wield itself against those who lift it up. Or as if a step or a stick could lift up as if it were not wood. So like the 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, for who makes you differ from another, and what do you have that you did not receive? Now if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? This is a disciple and talks about it to Christians. Christians are ministering to the Lord and his share. So in order to minister to the Lord and his ministry, ministry needs the work of Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who gave? God gave the Holy Spirit to the minister. That Holy Spirit, a man, a person, Holy Spirit is working through particular man, creature, minister. So that's why minister has no reason boast any fruit, you know, over, you know, ministry. Basically, the minister is just the instrument of the Holy Spirit in words. You know, likewise, that Assyria is just the instrument. So basically, therefore, the Lord of hosts will send leanness among his fat one. So very skinny, make you skinny, not fat. And under his glory, he will kindle a burning, catch a fire into Assyria, like the burning of a fire. So the light of Israel will be for a fire, and his Holy One for a flame. It will burn and devour his thorns and his briars in one day. So basically, Assyria will be suddenly fall, you know, like in one day, and his dawn and his briars to catch a fire. And it will consume the glory of his forest and of his fruitful field, both soul and body. And there will be as when a sick man wastes away, and the rest of the trees of his forest will be so few in number that a child may write them. Now, so few in number. Now talking about remnant here. Verse 20. And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel. So what is remnant? Remnant is a remaining people, but basically indicating faithful, you know, Israelites here, and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob. Jacob is Israel, you know, Jacob is 12, you know, tribes, you know. Jacob, you know, also named as Israel, will never again depend on him who defeated them. So remnant does not depend upon creature conqueror, Assyria, but will depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel in truth. So remnant does not depend upon conqueror, but totally depend upon the Lord. So here, the one prophecy was established. So the southern Judah later conquered by Babylonian. So, but the Babylonian was conquered by Persia. Persia allowed the Babylonian in captivity for an actual 70 years later. To allow the, you know, Israelites to return to Jerusalem and, you know, Israel. So that time, not only two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, for, you know, southern nation Judah, they left the 10 tribes. The other tribes, Manasseh, you know, Ephraim, you know. So, you know, other tribes, you know, also, you know, joined there. That's the talk of Ezra, chapter 2, verses 64 and 65. The whole assembly together here, total 12 tribes of Jacob, 12 tribes of Israel, were 42,360, besides their male and female servants, of whom there were 7,337, and they had 200 men and women, singers together. So they returned to, went back to Israel. That is the first prophecy was fulfilled. But the second prophecy here, the day meaning great tribulation. So during the, you know, Great Tribulation, Daniel prophesied 77s for Israelites, but 59 sevens already done, already accomplished. Now only 1 7, which means 7 years left. So now, you know, Gentile time, you know, the New Testament time. So when Jesus is coming again in heaven, that time, you know, in the earth, you know, 7 years in great tribulation, you know, would begin. So that time, you know, first 3.5 years, the Jewish people worshiped the Antichrist, by deceiving, by Antichrist is a Messiah. But later, after 3.5 years, some Jewish people discovered Antichrist, who is really Antichrist. So they did not, they would not, you know, worship Antichrist any longer. So at that time, they got, you know, the severe tribulation. So God, you know, gave a sealment from, you know, Antichrist persecuting, martyring. That is 144,000 people. That is Revelation chapter 7, verse 4 said. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of older tribes of children of Israel was sealed. So that is that's called a dual prophecy. You know, that 144,000 sealed Israelites, you know, will be accomplished in the great, you know, tribulation. So not accomplished yet. So the remnant will return, the remnant of Jacob or the remnant of Israel, to the mighty God. For though your people, O Israel, be as the sand of the sea, a remnant of them will return. So one prophecy returned into Israel. So after Babylonian, 70 years in captivity, that is already accomplished. But the other one is in the future, in the Great Tribulation, 144,000 sealed remnant, so protected from Antichrist and persecution during Great Tribulation. The destruction decree shall overflow with righteousness. But here, why God would give that punishment, that judgment? Because of God's righteousness. God's righteousness. For the Lord God of hosts will make a determined end in the midst of all the land. Now, verse 24, up to last verse in 34, talking about punishment of Assyria. Therefore, thus said the Lord God of hosts, all my people who dwell in Zion, do not be afraid of Assyria. So in this time, Hezekiah king reigned, Assyria king invaded into Jerusalem. That time, through Isaiah, so God said, do not be afraid of the Assyrian who are invading into Jerusalem now. He shall strike you with a rod and lift up his staff against you in the manner of Egypt, for yet a very little while, which meaning for a short time. So after punishing Assyria, God would punish Judah, because the Judah also, majority people worship the idol here. For yet a very little while, and the indignation, God's anger, righteous anger, will cease. So which meaning God's righteous anger will cease, will stop, will not, against Judah, as will my anger in their destruction. Verse 26, and the Lord of hosts will stir up a scourge for him, of him meaning Assyria, like the slaughter of Midian at the rock of Oreb. So Midianites, were destroyed by Gala, 300 men, like that. So as his rod was on the sea, so will he lift it up in the manner of Egypt. It shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken away from your soul. So Syrian burden will be taken away because God, will destroy Assyrians. So only one angel destroy, all Assyrian soldiers. And his yoke from your neck, the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Anointing oil, the symbol of Holy Spirit. He has come to Eyatza. Those cities all the listed in a route Assyria the Uder invaded in Jerusalem in 701 BC. So this city migrated from north into south, Michmashi, Geba, Rama, Gibeah, Kialim, Reishi, and Anathoth, Medamena. The last one, verse 32, Nob. Nob is just 2 miles north of Jerusalem. Nob that day, he will shake his fist at the Mount of Door of Zion, the hill of Jerusalem. So Assyria is very close to invade, almost to conquer in Jerusalem. But verse 33, behold, look, the Lord of hosts, will lap up the bow with terror, but the Lord will destroy the bow, to cut off the bow with terror. The Lord will destroy Assyria. Those of high stature will be hewed down. High stature, so high arrogance will be cut down. And the haughty will be humble. So haughty will be cut down. God will cut down the thicket of the forest with iron, and Lebanon will fall by the mighty one. Lebanon is the northern part of Israel. So Lebanon was mighty one who is God. So let's see each question. In verse 7, yet he does not mean so. Assyria does not mean so, nor does his heart think so, but it is in his heart to destroy and cut up not a few nations. What does it mean? Assyria doesn't understand that God is using just the instrument over God's judgment against the conquered nations. So according to in this context, God said, Assyria does not understand. Assyria is just the rod over God's anger. Rod over God's anger. Question 2, in verse 15, shall the axe boast itself against him who chops with it? Shall the sword exalt itself against him who sows with it? As if a rod could wield itself against those who lift it up, or as if a staff could lift up, as if it were not wood. What does it mean? This meaning basically here, axe, sword, rod, staff, all of them just the instruments. So instrument always not superior to user of instrument, which meaning creature cannot defeat, cannot prevail over creature, God. Question 3, in verse 20, and it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel, and such as have escaped of the house of Jacob, will never again depend on him who defeated them, but the world depend on the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and Jews, who is the remnant. Verse 20 specifically explains, the remnant is the people who will not depend upon conqueror, creature, but depend upon the Lord. So which meaning remnants are the people who depend upon solely upon the Lord, not any creature. Verse 20, last part to explain. So basically, that is called a remnant. The last question, 4, what attribute of God's characteristics can you see in this chapter? Verse 22, God said, with righteousness, because this is God's righteousness. Okay, let's just sing song all together, last song on bulletin, page 2, number 3.